to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crow, and with me on this episode is the entirety of the KTR cast for the first time in a very long time. And with us today, we have Thaxos.
Hey, hey.
Frost.
Nah.
Pinocchio.
Hello.
Misha Kitty.
Hi, everyone.
And Solus Ram.
Yo.
And or Ram.
Ram!
I think it's Ram. We call him Ram.
So if you're Ram, where's Clue?
Man, we're not even 5 minutes in and we've already made him cry.
Well, it's just worse because he really wants to watch the Heat game that's on tonight, and we're not letting him do that.
That's no, how much not. He loves you. podcast audience.
She's right. She's right. I totally hit pause for you. I'm
Ladies
sitting
and gentlemen,
here in my office.
The magic of DVR.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
So we'll just start right in because we actually have a fair amount of stuff to talk about today. We'll start with the latest Mercs news. First things first, just happened today on October 28th. Instagram, the Mando Mercs at Instagram account, hit 8,000 followers, which is pretty sweet.
Awesome.
Ooh.
So thanks to the social media team there for doing a great job on that. That one is definitely the fastest growing of our social media presence, so that's awesome. Like, it actually surpassed Twitter this month, so the only thing with more followers is the Facebook page.
If you're looking for a good place to get ideas for kits, I always hear people saying, you know, oh, I don't know how I can build them and everything. And I know sometimes when we post stuff on Facebook, it kind of gets kicked down. Instagram is great because you can see lots of different ideas from people building all over the world. And Crow won't say it, but he is a huge reason why Instagram has been super, super successful. And we're very appreciative of that.
Congrats on that. Also do go to one of our Russian members, Volnox Kreis. She's the other main admin for the Instagram account. She's done a lot of hard work, too.
Very good.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Congrats.
The next bit of Mercs news is a new website feature, and I'll toss this over to Thaxos to explain what's going on there.
All right, so by the time this thing goes live, we're going to have some changes to the website. There's going to be a couple tweaks to the front end that you might notice. The forum background is going to change. And then the biggest thing, there will be an announcement regarding clan websites. Now, what's going to happen with that is that we've been working on a clan site template, and all the different clans will have the ability to have their own website right off of MandalorianMercs.org. So it'll be something like Talon.MandalorianMercs.org or BVC.MandalorianMercs.org, something like that. Now, for most people, that's not going to kick in just right away because the clan officers are going to have to get in touch with myself. We're going to work on setting up the clan site. But once the clan sites are up, they're going to have a homepage, which is going to automatically pull invasion reports that have their clan involved with it. So right then and there, you've already got content being populated to the site. The clan officers can also post additional front-end news, which is going to be great. There's an about page, obviously. You got a clan roster page, a gallery for all the photos that the clan's doing, clan events calendar that's going to show what the clan's up to and when they're doing things, as well as a contact form. And that site will be primarily run by the clan officers themselves. They'll be able to populate content, and then it's all templated up, so it's real easy and straightforward to use.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool.
And actually, what sort of style of websites are those going to be? Are they just WordPress sites?
Yep. Yeah, it's WordPress as well, just like the front end of the main site.
Thaxos, man, thank you. You know, I think that anybody who's a clan officer who hears that is probably going to be super jazzed, because anytime we do these events, people are always saying, you know, how can I find out more about you? And it's nice to be able to direct them to the forums for sure, but not everybody can navigate them if they're just looking for the clan.
It should be a lot nicer for people that just want to check out the local clan and not necessarily want to get the full history of the mercs when they first go to the site.
Yeah,
we've getting lost in the shuffle.
Right, now, they'll still direct people to like Facebook, and that's nice, but I would much rather see them coming to our own website. So this is awesome that you've set this up.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
Big step.
The site is already all templated up. The only thing really is that the clan logo will differ per clan site and the clan name and that such. And then the content itself, but everything else is going to be the same style, same templates. So it's really just put in some info and it's up and running.
Time to get new business cards.
I had the exact same thought, Joe. I was thinking the same thing out. I was like, and every clan leader hears that and thinks, oh, we're going to need new business cards.
New flyers.
I don't mind. Wampa, we've been out of business cards for like a year and a half, so this will be good.
So without getting too much into the details of it, obviously there will be a cost associated to that, just because we already have thousands of dollars of server costs just to run the main site. That's something that clan officers will worry about. So primarily what we're going to see is the clan sites will have a bit of a beta period in which the first couple clans will be set up for, it's first come, first serve, basically. They'll be set up. Hopefully we don't find too many issues. And then by, I don't know, May 4th, everything revolves around the May 4th awards. But by May of next year, everything should be up for anyone that's been put into the queue for wanting to get a site up. Obviously, it's going to take us a little while to get through every clan if we have a whole lot of clans sign up right away, but it should be really good.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
No, that will I don't know what else to add, because it's kind of a visual thing that you guys can't see yet. So
no, that's a cool thing. Like, because I mean, we all love the forums and we all love the website as a tool. But it's sort of hard to direct people towards that all the time, and they're especially having things like an upcoming event calendar, especially for some of the busier clans where they get invitations and whatnot more often than not. Be like, oh, okay, well they'll be busy this weekend, so maybe we'll try this other weekend.
Also, too, I think it would help people in the local regions to be able to find where their mercs are going to be out. Sometimes I have people saying, oh, are you guys doing any events this weekend? And we don't really have a calendar format.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And you can also put... The calendar is customizable by the clan officers. So, for example, it's not just conventions and charity events that you guys are going to that you can announce. You can also put in armor parties, put some details for that if you want. Similar type events, that kind of stuff. So it's not just exclusive to the actual trooping events that will be happening.
That's awesome.
I'm excited.
That's all good news. I like it.
I guess additionally, maybe if while I've got everybody listening and thinking of the clan stuff, we did switch over the email server, so a lot of officers have had to re-log in and whatnot. There are a whole bunch of clans that don't have emails though, and they can be provided with a clan email address also through the Merc site. That's just something that's always been part of what we do for the clans, so there's no cost obviously to that. So if you're hearing about this, or you thought you maybe asked an officer of your local clan, hey, do we have an email, and they went, no, we don't, you could. So of course those requests would have to come from the clan officer and be sent to me, Thaxos. So cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. We got There is currently applications being accepted for a new position within the Mercs hierarchy. It is the Art Workflow Manager position. What that position is basically you're sort of an art director, but you're more of a taskmaster for the art team. You don't have to know art, really. You sort of just have to know what, you know, the Mercs stuff should look like. But mostly you're there to manage a team, keep everybody going, make sure patches and awards and stuff are going. One of the main reasons why that position has opened up is that our long-term art director, art team leader, Ark, has decided to step down and focus specifically on Wampa Clan. She's the new Wampa Clan Verilor. So I would like to take a second to thank her for her hard work, and I'm personally very happy that she's now doing art for us.
You're stealing her away from us now.
Yes, I am, specifically.
Yeah, because you're now the new Alarad for Wampa Clan.
I am, yes.
Congratulations to that.
Thanks. Our previous Alarad, Jarek Dar, he just got really busy with his personal life. Still totally in the Mercs, still trooping, still with us, but he just got too busy to do the job, in his opinion. So he decided to step down, and I stepped up, and I stole Ark for Wampa. So, sorry, guys.
Hey, she's put in a lot of hard work. And
it's almost like she has a pre-existing commitment to you.
Sort of.
I mean, it's weird, but...
Everyone gets their break at some point, right? So,
yep.
Thank you for all the hard work that she's done.
Yes.
Yes, thank you much.
And I'm going to have to keep an eye on what awesome new merch from Wampa Clan is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want those.
Well,
whatever they are.
We do have a patch. No, I'm not gonna like promote Wampa any more than I already have.
People can go on the forums into the trading station and find the various clan merch items.
Oh yes,
that's where they're at.
Speaking of which, BBC, you guys need to get on making another patch.
You know what? Neither of us are the ones to talk about.
Yeah, I know it's not either of you anymore, but.
He just did a round patch, actually, not that long ago, though, and they all sold pretty quick, but...
Well, that was my problem, I missed it.
Yeah, we have a round patch that came out a couple months ago that's pretty nice. It was right before me and Misha... Well, I don't know. Anyways, I don't know the timetable, but...
Yeah, it sold pretty quick,
but they have a couple things coming down the pipe that they're kind of... I think they're getting ready to unveil, so...
Nice. And moving on, we have another bit of... Not necessarily news, but Misha has some stuff that she wants to talk about regarding etiquette while in kit, trooping etiquette, you know, proper decorum.
You might say etiquette?
No, I'm not. I will not say that. But
you could.
I could.
Well, actually, so we've had a couple different things kind of come up here and there. And this one is actually not so much. From time to time, different things come up, and we get different kinds of questions in the clans, and different things happen at events. And we always like to make members aware. Of course, whatever your clan is in, or whatever area you're in for your clan, it's always best to check with your clan leadership and see how they want things done at different events. But I just kind of wanted to take a second, because I know we have a lot of new recruits listening, and I also know that a lot of times new recruits are really, and just folks who haven't gotten OM yet, are really, really valuable to us during different events. And if you're not aware of it, one of the things that those folks can do, one of the ways they can help, is by being a handler. Now, I think a lot of Mercs, unlike some of the other costuming groups, a lot of us aren't normally used to having handlers. I know when I started trooping with more people rather than just myself and my husband, and there were these handler people. But it's a really awesome way to give new members an opportunity to be part of the group and also to attend events. We just want to make sure, though, if you are interested in doing that, please do check with your clan leadership. You may see an event that's posted, but don't just assume that, you know, that you that there's definitely a need for a handler. Sometimes people get really excited and they say, oh, I'll come out and handle at that event. And my last event, I actually had more handlers than official members at it. So we got a little bit, and which was awesome because we got some super fabulous photos. But, you know, and sometimes it's best if you check and let folks know. And sometimes if you're partnering, if the troop is a partnership with the 501st or the Rebel Legion, they might have their own handlers. So we kind of have to make sure that the love is getting spread around there. And then if you are a new member or a recruit or even an official member who's not in kit that day and is handling, you know, just remember that your job is, since you don't have a bucket on, you're sort of our voice, and you still are really the face of the Mercs as much as we are in bucket. So it's very important that you're polite to people and courteous, and make sure you have something on that identifies yourself as part of the Mandalorian Mercs, either a t-shirt or your clan leadership may have like a special handler button for you to wear, something like that. And you really can help out at these events by doing things like taking people's photos and just making sure that the members stay hydrated and helping them take breaks and doing crowd control, all sorts of good things like that.
No, that's great.
That's awesome.
It's really cool because we're getting, like, I think more and more new recruits, you know, every day. I think all of the clans really are seeing just this huge growth in membership. And I think we probably will when the new movie comes out, too. And I think it's important to find a way for the new folks we have coming in to participate. But if you are going to be a handler at these events, you do need to remember that it is a really important position. And it is important that you, just like we as official members have to kind of be on best behavior, the handler does too. You know, they really have to, because you're representing the club. And that's a very, not just an important role, but it's a pretty serious one. So you just got to keep that in mind.
All right, moving on to our Star Wars news for the evening, for the episode, for the month.
Did some stuff, is there something going on with Star Wars?
I'm gonna say there is. The big thing that I want to talk about first, Battlefront. How freaking yes. Awesome was that beta?
All I saw was a black screen, so,
Is well, this where I tell you that
clearly,
my...
Clearly, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I
don't have a game system. I don't know.
I got stuck on the computer where it would not run, so I unfortunately did not get to partake. But I saw many videos and screenshots, and it looked fantastic, and I'm sure you guys will tell me all about that.
The biggest...
It looked good on YouTube.
It was definitely gorgeous. I will say that. Like, it was definitely pretty.
If you guys never teabagged Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Once it's out, right?
Right.
That is actually the point of the game.
The biggest thing for me was, like, in the beta, for those of you who haven't had a chance to play, there was incredibly limited classes.
Yes.
You were just allowed to play the trooper, basically, for the Rebels and the Empire. So the balance isn't quite there yet for, like, some of the bigger maps, like, say, Hoth. Because there is no one walking around with a rocket launcher on their shoulder to take down, like, an AT-ST or something. But, like, I gotta say, every time that I played the Rebels on Hoth, we lost. Every single time. Like, I know that wasn't the case for everybody, but...
No.
We
mostly
did.
It was.
Like,
95%.
It was the rare exception. The only time I ever won was when I had a six-man pre-made group, and we bogarted all of the X-Wings. Mm-hmm. All the A-Wings.
Right. Like, we definitely... and every time, naturally, that I played the Empire, we won. I wasn't even mad. Like, I didn't care.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Like, I didn't care being on the losing side, you know, every other time. Part of it was that it does flip you back and forth in between each match. So you get, you know, a little bit of the Empire, then the Rebels, and back and forth. But it's like, I didn't care. Like, I mean, I didn't care that the one time that I managed to get into a snowspeeder before someone else, I tried to do the tow cable thing, and I screwed up and smashed into the walker's legs. Didn't care. It was the best time I'd had that night. It was just so much fun.
Did you get trampled by the AT-AT at all?
No. Oh. No, I managed to avoid the Luke Skywalker stomp.
Yes.
But it was just a blast. And the other game modes that they demoed the single player survival mode, which is, you know, basic.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was awesome. Even for just like a survival, you know, wave after wave scenario, which I'm normally not a huge fan of, but still it was a blast. And
they had a single base capture mode as well that was based around capturing escape pods.
Yep. And
or as my friends and I like to call it, the MacGuffin mode, where it's go touch the butts and win the objective points.
Yeah. But that was also a blast. It was nice and fast paced,
very fast paced.
And I don't know if you guys saw the video, but there is a video of a person being killed by one of the escape pods.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wonderful luck.
The guy, it's like, the guy's running around, he gets the notification that a drop pod's coming in, he's like, okay, looks to left, looks to the right, alright, where is it?
Looks up,
pod. The second he looks up, drop pod to the face.
Amazingly, that was not me, I'm shocked.
And the video I've seen of that is at 60 frames a second, and there's literally 3 frames of pod where you can just see the door on the bottom.
Oh yeah, it's just...
Where it just goes, boom!
Like, guy doesn't have any time to react whatsoever. It's just...
He just dies.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And they actually, literally yesterday, released a new trailer for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting pretty much all the old heroes back. So Princess Leia's back, Han Solo's
awesome.
Back, Boba Fett's back.
Yep.
Emperor Palpatine is in.
Nice.
Good. Good.
It's gonna be cool.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, since we're on Battlefront, Boba's voice is Temuera Morrison.
Yep.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay. Oh,
it's really nice. There's a couple of different YouTube clips you can hit right now if you wanted to go listen to all of Boba's sound clips that someone took out of the files they extracted from the game.
Of course.
But yeah, it's Tem, and it's really good. Like, he's not overly New Zealand-y for once. He actually sounds really good. It's a lot closer to original Boba Fett, but it definitely is Tem. It's really cool. There's, I think, my favorite, like, I was listening to him, and there's when, in-game, when Boba kills Luke Skywalker, he actually says that was for Jango. And, like, I'm like, ah, that's so cool, because it's Tem, but he's saying it as Boba. Like, it just really was cool.
There's also, apparently, a quote for when he does a flyby of the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so cool. I saw that. The new trailer.
Yeah, that was cool.
I got to play it for one night, but it's definitely, I'm like really excited for it.
It's super. I'll have to try it someday.
Oh yeah, it'll be on the 2 next gen systems. It'll also be coming out for PC for those of you who enjoy the PC
like
gaming
systems.
Yep.
Who absolutely insist on playing on PC like Thaxos.
I mean, probably the only way I'll play it. I'm so behind.
I lucked out and I managed to get an X-Bone for relatively cheap. So that's pretty much been sitting mostly idle, with the exception of playing the Battlefront beta and waiting for November 17th. It'll be a glorious, glorious day. In other Star Wars news,
other trailers.
Yes, other trailers, namely the big trailer, aka the "Where Is Luke" trailer. Here's what really gets me.
I like how
like, it was.
Like, oh,
it, well, that's the thing. It's because it was a good trailer. It was a very good trailer.
Why?
Why does Luke even need to be in there? I mean,
well, because it's Star Wars. But I mean, the big thing that I'm getting that got me about it was this was the first official trailer where we even see Leia.
Yeah. Right.
First time, like she.
Well, we saw technically in the very first trailer we saw her from the neck down,
right,
holding Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber.
Right. And by that same, and by the same thing, like a dude with a metal hand by a little campfire touches R2.
With a beard.
With a beard.
And that was Sam Jackson.
Yes. Narrated by Mark Hamill. So it's, you know, it's there. Like, he's obviously there. Like, he was one of the first celebrities to even talk about doing the new movie. The second the gag order was lifted, like, obviously, guys, it's a Star Wars movie. He's gonna be in it.
Here's the thing, though. I just want to know, where's Lando?
Yeah, that's what I really want to know.
Billy Dee is supposedly back.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Where's Lando?
Like, I want.
He's that one dude's dad.
Forget Luke.
And Leia is his mom.
So here's the thing, guys. Have you ever noticed that when a movie is released, if you see the trailers over and over and over again, and like the trailers have pretty much everything that's going to be in the movie, a lot of times the movie kind of sucks.
Yep.
I think it's pretty awesome that the trailers that are being released are just enough of a teaser to get all of us hardcore Star Wars fans, and even people that aren't necessarily, you know, walking around in plastic spaceman armor or metal, whatever your desire maybe on that one, but it's just enough to get us super jazzed and excited, but it's not really giving away a whole lot of the story. And I know there's a lot of speculation and a lot of people are having fun speculating, but I'm actually really excited about that, because
like Leia and Lando's child.
Yes.
Yep. Right, exactly.
For the record,
I'm
going to interject here for a second, just because there is a lot of speculation and a lot of it is pretty interesting. However, those of you who are saying that Luke is Kylo Ren, please get out. Learn how to body proportion.
And like, Mark Hamill has said,
"All like to know that Phasma is Boba Fett's daughter."
Yes,
I really hope so.
That's it. I'm out.
I really hope so, because Captain Phasma is like the coolest thing.
Well, but like, here's the biggest plot twist is that the Emperor is coming back with that whole cloning thing that they had in the comics, but they put him into a droid body, specifically BB-8.
BB-8, I saw that. Yeah. That was awesome. Yep.
He is the he's the Emperor.
I do want to say I've read way too many spoilers online, and this trailer doesn't give you anything.
Yeah, not a damn thing. Yeah.
No, the trailer doesn't tell you anything. Joke. Which is awesome.
Everybody just makes up a bunch of stuff, and that's awesome.
I was
Job
a little
of the Hutt is Kylo Ren.
I was a little surprised that there weren't a lot of aliens shown in the trailer at all, though.
Well, that's
like there was a while ago Vanity Fair, they had that whole
photo had the big spread.
Of all the different aliens and whatnot, and we haven't really seen much in the way of aliens in the actual trailer.
But what we did see were two, possibly three, very very pointedly put in Mandalorian banners.
Yeah,
I say two, possibly three, because there's one in the middle that's definitely.
And maybe helmets.
But like, yeah, the one in the middle is definitely the Mythosaur skull, and then they have the feather, the feather leaf sprig thing on
the
another
green,
one.
Green. Yeah.
And then on top of that, they also down in towards the corner, there's one of the other flags that actually has decoration on it. It looks to be, possibly the Death Watch logo. It's kind of obscured, so it's a little hard to see.
I think there was a couple Podracer flags in there too.
Yep.
Yeah, there definitely are some Podracer.
Actually, yep. Match them out.
Yeah, there's a Sabalba. There's Anakin.
It looks like one of Hondo's flags.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's, I mean, there's speculation is just as rampant on what that means.
Also, an advertisement for Disney stuck in there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was right at the beginning after the Lucasfilm logo.
The leading... So the leading speculation on that is that it's either the component members of the Resistance, because it's very clearly on that sort of jungle planet that they're on.
Mm-hmm.
which very well could be Yavin.
Could be.
Four. Or that it is people who the Empire has wiped out in a sort of a memorial to them. Both of which seem fairly plausible.
Yeah, fairly.
I don't like that second option.
Oh, I don't like
it
either.
I have theories, but I can't talk about them. It's not fun.
Well, there are so many theories. Like, there's some that are saying maybe it's just the straight-up Mandalorian headquarters. Maybe it's just some space pirate. Maybe it's space pirate Mandalorians. Why not? You know?
Maybe it's the Wookiees. Pirates.
Wait, are you saying it's a Mandalorian space pirate Jedi?
Could be.
It's pirate Jedi, definitely.
Wait, yep. Chewbacca is Kylo Ren?
Chewbacca is Kylo Ren.
It's weak way space pirates, definitely.
Those are actually all of Ezra's magic carpets because he's Aladdin.
Yes.
Oh my god.
He totally is space Aladdin. He's space Aladdin,
and he is on the spice.
What if
the spice must
flow? Ezra is Kylo Ren?
Well, he would be. Well, actually, I don't know.
I'm just waiting.
It he would be younger than age. Luke.
Yeah. It does. It's perfect in age. It even kind of looks like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's only a little bit younger than Luke, though.
Well, now
watch that be the actual thing.
If I just called it right now.
Well, now that we're starting to talk about Ezra, let's just do a full segue. Rebels, season 2 has started.
Yeah,
it's a thing.
Yes, we have, and it's really good.
Yeah, honestly,
it is really good.
Like, I've seen the first two full episodes that they put out after the trailer. Or the premiere episode they put out this summer. So I got to see the ATTE that the three clones are living on. And it's just cool. Like, every single, like, almost everything about the two episodes they've put out so far is just cool. Like, normally I've got, like, some little complaint, but I can't think of any.
That's because they're not bringing Jar Jar until next week's episode.
Mm. Yes.
Nah. Misa loved this. Misa Bombad turned to the dark side.
I'll tell you one thing. I do really appreciate that one image, just of Kylo Ren taking his helmet off and his big floppy ears come out and he says, Misa gonna avenge you, Annie.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Yep.
That's what I've been dreading for so many years.
I'd be okay with that.
I would not.
Well, that's specifically why. No, that's why Jar Jar isn't in Rebels.
Yeah, I think it's because they want him dead.
Yes.
Not unlike the rest of us, in fact.
I'm just retired. I'm okay with that.
So who else has seen Rebels so far?
Seen one episode.
I only saw that one here, which was amazing with Vader.
I've seen...
That's the one I've seen.
Yeah, the fact that they got James Earl Jones back for that is fantastic and amazing.
Mm.
I know, I'm so bad. I've been playing too many video games.
It was just such a well-done premiere. It set the tone for the whole season.
And so far...
And Joe Drop.
And so far, it's been living up. Like, they haven't... Vader hasn't specifically come back for the two episodes they've released since, but in his stead, he's still got Agent Sideburns and new Inquisitors, as clearly there are many. Out doing their dirty work, but that does mean that Vader gets to escape the Grievous issue.
Inevitable villain decay.
Yeah, like they're sparing us that, which is awesome. Like there is.
Yeah, well, the other thing is that they had him show up and he was just impossible to kill.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because guess what? He's Darth Vader. Like, and that's
it's like, almost like he is the big bad evil guy.
Like they're just handling Vader so well, just in general. Like
Vader feels like a bad guy again, which is a good change for once.
Yeah.
Instead of an absentee father.
I got kicked for a second.
Sorry I didn't take you to Little League.
Worst dad ever.
Yep.
I'm sorry I tortured your sister and her boyfriend.
But he's not, though.
He's totally not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Is this an appropriate time for the sorry, not sorry?
Sorry, not really.
I don't think it's ever really an appropriate time.
Well, just imagine if he did know that Leia was his daughter and that Han was going after her.
That's pretty much what would happen.
Angry dad, right there. You know.
To be fair, though, let me use my medical torture machines as a little bit of an overreaction.
Well, I don't think so. Space.
I think my dad probably would have done that, you know.
It's space. He can't just pull out a space shotgun and say, I've been to prison, son.
Can't he though? Yeah, the Trandoshans definitely have them.
Well, yeah, they do.
And he's got midichlorians. I bet you could load those into a paper shell.
I'm going to shoot you with the Force.
They're like the sea monkeys of
the Force.
I'm pretty
sure that would make Han Force-sensitive, according to what GL was trying to tell us here.
So what else do we have to talk about?
Sea monkeys.
We skipped over that movie trailer way too fast.
Yeah, we did.
It was really cool, guys. It was really cool.
I kind of want to
see the movie now.
that's a good point, because I was like, I was really excited, obviously, we're all excited so that the new movie's coming out, but I had hit like a plateau after Celebration and after, you know, a summer of being able to process all the new stuff that's coming out and Force Friday, and I was like, okay, I've leveled out, I can wait a couple more months, if this is good, this is okay. And then that happened.
So,
and I'm hype again, guys.
I listened to just the audio.
Yeah. Anybody cry when they saw it the first time?
Yes, of course.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
One little man tear escaped.
Well, there was actually a meme about that, which was that, what a piece of junk. And then Han goes, she may be a piece of junk, but in 30 years she'll make grown men cry.
Right.
I did not tear up. However, moose don't have tear ducts, so, you know.
Oh, my God.
It's okay, honey.
I'm taking your maple syrup away.
There was syrup running down his face when he saw the trailer.
Maple syrup.
Yeah, it wasn't. They weren't tears. It was just maple syrup.
It is pretty cool, though. I had one of my coworkers walk into my office one day and just said, hey, you pretty excited about that new Star Wars movie? And I was a little confused by that, because this is someone that I never would have expected that come from. And he proceeded to tell me, I mean, this is a park ranger guy who's an older gentleman who's from Britain and worked on cattle ranches in Australia, and he was so excited about it. And I just think it's really amazing that there's a movie out there that so many people from so many different walks of life, you know, just think is incredible. And I think it's awesome that a whole new generation of kids are going to grow up with this movie, you know, just like everybody who's on this podcast did, with depending upon whether they were, you know, part of the original trilogy or whatever those three movies that came after that were.
Cold.
I think people like that, Misha. Like, I had a guy at my work that was the same way, you know. And I think you saw a lot of people on Facebook and social media complaining that the trailer was shown for the first time on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to explain to some of my friends who were even complaining about it, like, they already know we're going to watch that trailer wherever
exactly.
It is.
Right.
That trailer being shown on Monday Night Football was for the rest of the country and for the rest of the world, not just country, I shouldn't
yeah.
say. For the rest
yeah.
of the world to see, like, oh, hey, like the 45-year-old guy who sits at home that doesn't go to the movies that often is like, oh, hey, that Star Wars movie looks pretty awesome. I guess I'll go see it.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing I thought was, I wondered how much the NFL paid them to put
none,
the advertisement
because
on.
None, because it was shown on ESPN for Monday Night Football, and Disney owns ESPN.
Ah, yep. Well, there you go.
Yep.
I heard the viewer numbers totally tanked immediately after the trailer was done.
It did. Like, they didn't quite have record, viewings for a Monday Night Football game, but it was very high.
Record level.
It was very high at the beginning of the game.
It was a half time.
It was a really bad game, too.
Didn't
have to be a good game. There was Star Wars.
Exactly. Like, and I mean, let's be honest. Like, a fair number of, I'll just call them nerds, who were watching the game, like, probably didn't really notice that it might have been a bad game. I gotta know.
Yeah. True. My wife still has to explain the football rules to me. I still don't know them.
It's actually hand egg.
Oh, here we go with this again.
Lay Reddit face.
I will point out that they do have what they call Canadian football up in Canada, and it is bad.
Canadian hand egg.
It is bad.
Hang on, sorry, what? Are you saying Canadian football is bad?
It's where Canadian football is where we send the players that don't make it in the NFL.
Oh, I see.
I'm doing my best not to quote South Park.
He's 100% accurate, and they're really bad because they have to spend 9 months a year inside so they don't freeze to death.
That's not even accurate in either position.
It is.
Also, it's a much more exciting game if you were to watch it, because you only have three downs, and thus you have to get things moving much quicker. You don't get so much time.
He says this, but remember, they're Canadians.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening is that you end up with somebody comes in, he gets a perfect line to the QB, he's about to sack him, at which point he's like, oh, I'm sorry, you can go ahead and throw that.
I still feel like we didn't yell enough about how awesome the trailer is.
I mean, we can keep yelling.
If you keep yelling, I can get Brian in here and you can mention A-Wings again.
We should all just
yell at once. Why does Brian have a problem with A-Wings?
We covered that. A-Wings. We covered that.
Rebels A-Wings.
Because Filoni wrote them into Rebels.
Because there was a specific date about them before that.
That date's irrelevant.
Probably not.
No, I was saying because there's a specific date, because there actually isn't.
Yeah, because I was about to say, I imagine that though there may in fact be a quote-unquote specific date, it's about as canon as Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah. Sorry, bro.
Hey, listen, all I'm saying is that if we ever have a Mercs dinner and Filoni is there, we need to keep Brian far, far away.
Roki and I will handle that
we did
at the
you.
That's okay. I really like Dave Filoni. So.
Hey.
Yeah.
I got no problems with the dude. He's cool.
Yeah.
He seems like a very nice young man.
I like his work. Like, honestly, like, he was like, he's gonna make Brian angry. But like, honestly, like the A-Wing thing, it's like,
He can't hear you.
No, I know. But he was told, previous dates don't matter. Like, so write whatever you want. And if we're going to be honest, like, in the grand time scale of Rebels, they were developing A-Wings back then. Just about, give or take, 5 years. So what? So jumping back to Rebels here. One of the big things, they've also released a bunch of new trailers for the new season of Rebels. A lot of cool stuff they've been showing off. Like, they've been showing off the female Inquisitor, the Seventh Sister, they call her. Freddie Prinze Jr.'s wife is actually that character, so that's pretty cool.
If you guys don't know, that would be Sarah Michelle Gellar / Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, that too.
What?
But for as far as this podcast is concerned, most notably, they've... One of the trailers, heavily involving Sabine, shows off some Mandalorian pilots. How rad's that?
Very exciting.
The more the merrier.
Yes, more Mandos.
Yes.
Yep.
The bee's knees, man. Oh, wait, they don't have knee armor.
Talk about that later.
But yeah, it's great because, I mean, we know and we have known for years that Dave Filoni is a fan of Mandalorians. Certainly not afraid of putting them in his show, making them main characters of said show, and then just letting the plot go from there. And there are naturally a lot of cool rumors going around with that. Like, one of the big ones is that one of the pilots that they show Sabine talking to is very probably related to Sabine. Sister is very is a very common relation guesstimate. Thrown around, guesstimate. Maybe even mom, who knows?
Could be.
But
yeah, the long trailer they released for Rebels season 2 is really cool. We got a lot of good stuff in there. Definitely got to saw like a new bounty hunter type character that is affiliated with Sabine or is hunting Sabine sort of for the Empire. We're not really sure where that's gonna go, but definitely cool to see some Mandos back in there. There's been a lot, for people who have watched the show, too, the first two episodes, there's been some Mando references, like some Mandalore references. That I don't want to spoil for people who haven't watched yet, but there's the clones, especially, bring up Mandalore a couple times, and it's like, wait, what are you talking about? I want to know more about this story that you're talking about. And they don't really give you too much, but it might be set up for later on in the season.
Yeah, like...
Well, they also, Sabine mentions it, too.
Yep. And yes. The Mandalorian, not the Mandalorians, the clone troopers, when they see Sabine, like, they're like, oh, yeah, Mandalorian, you know what you're doing. Go, yep. Shoot this gun.
Yeah.
Or they just see her and they're like, I bet you know how to do mechanics.
Yep.
Because I believe an actual line. And she's like, yeah.
Yep.
are you looking at me?
Yeah.
So, there's some of that. There's also a Graboid.
Yep. Big Bongo, as Gregor has named it. There is also Fishing with Zeb, which is great.
Yeah. Oh, and Gregor is back, for those of you who liked Republic Commandos. His voice is weird, but don't hold it against him.
Yeah. Like, Gregor has... Gregor has not handled the isolation of just living with the same two dudes for years exceptionally well, but still a good guy.
I don't think any of them have, really.
Filoni, everyone's been like weirded out by Gregor. Filoni, actually, I think I asked at New York Comic Con, what's up with Gregor? And basically he said, like, that's how he is after the effects of... there's that one episode of Clone Wars that he's in, and he, like... We don't know if he survives, like, a major explosion or how he gets out, you know? And so Filoni kind of explained, like, those are some of the after effects of him surviving that explosion.
He's a little crazy.
And more than a little. More than a little. Yeah. It's a little sad, though. His helmet's the only one you don't get to see so far of the new of the clones who are back.
Like, however, he is wearing a t-shirt, and the t-shirt has the symbol of that burger joint he worked at.
Yes.
On it.
Yes.
Yep.
Which is so random.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so random, but it is like the exact thing that it should have been. Like,
that's true, especially for how he is. Yeah.
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 And they did a very good job with all three clones, but like Gregor. I like Gregor.
Yeah, they did a good job.
I wish I had more time for Halloween because I want to do like old Rex or old Wolf. Like, that'd be so fun.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You'd pull it off really well.
I got my beard going and I got a bald head, so I think I could do it. I just gotta dye my beard white, I guess.
Yeah, dye your beard, make a little scratch on the side of your head.
Armor. That's what I need. Anybody got half a set of clone armor laying around?
Oh, I'm sure somebody does. I'm sure more people really have half a set than have full a set.
I just really hope that we get in at some point, and I know it's going to happen, but I really want to see at some point some situation in which Rex has to go double guns and start blowing people away because that is, in fact, what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he'll inevitably he will do that.
Yes.
I wanna see how that develops, like, just in general, because they do make it pretty clear that at least one of the clones joins the cast at the end of the episode. So I want to see how that works with the crew dynamic that they've been establishing for a season in a bit.
I really want to know when they're gonna whack Ahsoka.
when Vader's they when they bring Vader back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's probably exactly what's going to happen. But I mean, like, I want the circumstances upon which Ahsoka gets whacked. Not because I don't particularly like Ahsoka. I know a number of people who don't. However, it's because that is like that's where that arc goes, guys. If you really like Ahsoka, it's time to prep yourself.
Yep.
Because that's where this is going.
Yep.
And that's where it has to go, because it's like the poetic thing, and also continuity.
Yep. I'm interested to see how much this season, because we've seen in those trailers a lot of different subplots, and I'm interested to see how much they focus on the crew of the Ghost, and then how much spinoff we get. Like, I know they're not going to try and include Ahsoka and Rex and all these people too much, but at the same time, now they've given them back to the fans. Fans are going to want more and more and more. So it's going to be interesting to see how they. It's going to be interesting to see how they balance that equation of new characters and old characters. You know, they don't want to. They don't want to turn it into full blown Clone Wars Part 2. But at the same time, people are going to want these characters more and more now.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that they're actually going to whack Ahsoka before they whack Rex. They may not actually even kill Rex. But if they do end up knocking off Ahsoka, I would not be surprised in the slightest if she starts pulling Obi-Wan's
Force Ghost thing.
/ Qui-Gon's and Force Ghosts it up a little bit.
Mm.
Does that mean they edit her into Jedi too?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
As long as it's not the young version of her.
Speaking of which,
oh God.
Speaking of which, guys, they
it's
actually
a legit question.
Well, they would probably actually just get. I'm trying to remember how you pronounce her last name. It's Ori Shashalon, whatever.
Ori Shoshan.
Yeah, the lady who played Shakti.
Ah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would probably just get her to do it, but
I don't know. Probably would just CG her in at this point.
But realistically speaking, it obviously that's just not going to happen. But I think that's probably where they're going to end up taking her. Is they're going to have to knock her off probably at the end of this season, just so that way they can be like, guys, but Darth Vader though.
Yeah. Because it's a core problem with any time that any franchise does an interquel. It's just like, we know where he came from, and we know where he's gonna end up.
Yeah, well, and that's why interquels typically want to avoid big famous name people. Like, for example, the first season of Rebels, actually.
Mm.
Where, and actually even the later seasons of Clone Wars were more and more about the clones and Ahsoka, whom do not have established histories, than they were about Anakin and Obi-Wan. Now, there were some really good episodes, like the whole Mortis stuff, all of that about Anakin and Obi-Wan.
I did not like that arc at all.
Really?
No, part of it is just like I'm still not big on the whole concept of a force planet.
Yeah,
as a thing. That's my. I mean, and I know that there are planets in the old EU that had a whole big connections to the Force and that sort of
Dathomir stuff.
Yeah, Dathomir, Ruzan, Korriban, all of the biggies. But like just the idea that there is just this one planet floating out in the middle of nowhere that is the Force, and the light side and the dark side have physical personifications.
Well,
and one of them has to die, you know, it's just like that. I like where the arc took Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka, like, I like the premise of it and the direction that they took the characters, but just in general.
It was all fan fiction.
Well, so yeah. I had the great misfortune of actually reading some of the later day books in Star Wars and the Fate of the Jedi, which is the last stuff from the Legends canon.
Right.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's got a fair amount of that.
Legends canon is very bad, but it actually specifically discusses Mortis,
mm-hmm.
because the episodes in Clone Wars had come out by the time those books were written.
Yep.
And so the reason I think it's cool is because I also saw the episodes and I thought it was kishy as hell. But having then, again, had the misfortune to read those things, the best thing I actually read in those books was about Mortis, and it's actually more of a philosophical perspective where, like, it's kind of like the episode with Yoda from the Lost season.
Yeah, that was a better take on it.
But it's actually, that is what Mortis is. So it is not actual personifications that are people. Like, it's actually about Anakin Skywalker and what he does to the Force, right? It's actually, like, the reason that Anakin learns about the future while he's there is because he then proceeds to act out that drama where he goes and kills off the good guys and then he kills off the bad guys, because Anakin Skywalker is the one who does, well,
that
sort of brings balance to the Force. He kills everybody, pretty much.
Yep. That's how he brings balance. Killing.
Yeah, everybody dies except his kid.
Killing for fun.
Yep.
He's a good dad after all.
Yeah, exactly.
Darth Vader is a good dad.
Yep, everybody, Darth Vader's a good dad.
Yep.
That's it. That's what we're going to end our podcast on.
That's right. Jedi was take your son to work day.
I think the title should be Good Daddy Vader.
Yeah, I feel like that actually should be like a bumper sticker that we produce.
Well, okay, now that we're joking about this, if you guys read the Vader and Son and Vader's Little Princess books?
Yeah.
They are a riot. I was lucky enough to meet Jeffrey Brown at the at Celebration 6, and I had him sign my copies.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that was just like, those books are just all those little scenarios, you know, just thrown in. Like, what if Darth Vader, the, like, cyborg killing machine, had to raise two kids?
And how bad at it would he be?
Well, if those books are anything to go by, sort of in the middle, not too bad.
Yeah.
From all of us here at KTR, to all of you out there listening all over the world, Crow says he's just horrible at goodbyes, so he can't say goodbye to you tonight. But this is, you know, this isn't really goodbye. It's just until the next episode. And we hope you'll tune in then.
Oh my God, you better have some sad music to play over that. Some Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers isn't sad. What is wrong with you?
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.
Family-friendly organization, guys.
Mr. Rogers was an American hero!
47 days from the day this comes out till Force Awakens.
Oh.
Woo!
Right, who got their tickets?